Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. We trust you had a great 4th of July. We did.
Yes, we did.
It was your birthday.
Yes, it was.
And it was a glorious day.
Yes, and thank you for all the greetings that I received.
Kind of culminated with conversations with our children.
Amen.
And a wonderful dinner with my parents.
Yes.
Who shared what God had been doing in and through their lives.
Hallelujah. He never stopped using them.
Here we go. More money.
Oh, yes.
More money. Say it again.
More money.
We're not trying to be prophetic, presumptuous, or provocative, but there are times in our lives when we need more money. God has showed us 7 principles we can follow when we're praying for more money. These principles are good guidelines in which to check our motives and our actions. God wants us blessed. No question about that. God wants us prosperous.
That's what the word says. Not only that, but in praying for money, what we're really asking is, how do we sow? God's best for his children never includes anyone living in bondage of debt and the agony of lack. That anyone includes you.
Everybody hearing our voice.
That's right.
Our greatest desire should be for his wisdom, grace, salvation, presence, peace, joy, and righteousness. Now, that being said, there are times when we just need more money.
Hebrews 4:16 said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Amplified Bible translation of Hebrews 4:16 says it this way, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of God, of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it.
Honey, I like that, coming just when we need it. Here are 7 things that God told me about bringing more money into our lives. Number 1, there can be no conscious sin in our heart or head. No conscious sin in our heart or head. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Notice the word says regard iniquity. That means considering it or holding it close. The Message Bible translation of Psalm 66:18 puts it this way. If I've been cozy with evil, the Lord would never have listened to me. If you've asked for forgiveness for wrongdoing, don't let the devil beat you up over it. God forgives and forgets. It's the devil who likes to remind us of our past. But equally important, we don't need to be reminding ourselves of our sins from the past either.
That's true. Number 2, realize that God is with you 24/7. 24/7. Psalm 139 verses 3 and 4 in the New Living Translation says, you see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it. As we said a couple days ago, God always answers when we call. That's Jeremiah 33:3. No busy signals, no answering machine, no voicemail, no page number. No call, can I call you back? I'm on another call. Response from him. He has a number one absolute definite private line, and he's always ready to listen and help.
When I began my conversations with God this morning at 4:54 a.m., see, no matter what the time is, whether it's a.m. or p.m., when you talk with him, he He'll give you the answers that you're seeking.
Amen.
Number three, plan your days to fulfill His calling upon your life. Psalm 19:2. Day unto day uttered speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. Now, the contemporary English version of that scripture, Psalm 19:2, says it this way. Each day informs the following day. Each night announces to the next. Before you go to sleep tonight, create a to-do list of the things that you have planned to accomplish tomorrow, Friday. List them by priorities based on your goals in the six major areas of your life: spiritual, family, financial, physical, mental, social. Make them specific with an assigned timeline and priority.
Number four, live a righteous life. Psalm 24, 3 and 4 says, "Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." The New Living Translation in 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But now you must be holy in everything you do." How do you know what to do? Well, it's simple. Do what the Word says. A righteous life is a continual search for His presence and the revelation of His Word. When we want His Word and His presence more than anything else, then we're getting closer to the righteous life.
Number five, follow His instructions for living our daily lives. Listen to Psalm 15:1-5. Psalm 15:1-5 in the Classic Amplified. And I encourage you to go back and read over this yourself today and make notes. Here's what it says. "Lord, who shall dwell temporarily in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell permanently on your holy hill? He who walks and lives uprightly and blamelessly, who works righteousness and justice and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his friend, nor takes up reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. But he who honors those who fear the Lord, who revere and worship him, who swears his own hurt, does not change. He who does not put out his money for interest to one of his own people, and who will not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved." Wow. Amazing scripture.
It is. Number six, don't engage in mental or sexual lust, fornication, or adultery. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "For this is the will of God, that you should be consecrated, separated, and set apart for pure and holy living, that you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice." What TV shows do you watch? Do you have movie channels which typically glorify things that God doesn't? And what about movies? What do you think when an attractive and perhaps provocatively dressed woman walks by?
Or a man, for that matter.
That's true. That's very true. Think about these things and we need to search our hearts and make sure that we are not even lending our thoughts or our minds to any evil purpose.
Number seven, give your tithes and offerings. It unlocks the windows of heaven. Hallelujah. Malachi 3:10. "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you, and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive." The Message Bible translation of Malachi 3:10 says it this way: bring your tithe to the temple treasury, so there will be ample provision in your temple. Test me in this, and see if I do not open heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dream. You know, some years ago, I remember writing that we tend to get in financial trouble and out of the will of God due to the CIA.
I remember that too, honey.
I'm not talking about the Central Intelligence Agency, but rather three things that feed our selfish desires: convenience, indulgence, appearance. That's the CIA. We get in debt for convenience. My life would be easier if I had that new chainsaw, dishwasher, car. Convenience is an excuse for justifying debt to make our lives easier. Indulgence gets people into debt because they feel they deserve a new dress, golf club, dinner out, because they've had a hard day at the office. Indulgence is just an excuse for trying to make yourself feel better about spending money. The appearance, the debt trap of appearance, is being more concerned about what others think than what God thinks, and even, honey, what His Word says. Our security must come from God, and not in thinking that we have the latest everything to live a satisfied life.
James 4, verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. The word lust is defined as desires for pleasures. It's a Greek word, hedon, which really we get hedonistic from, and it's H2237 in Strong's Concordance. This particular word is mentioned five times in the Greek Concordance of the King James Version of the Bible. The contemporary English version of James 4, verse 3 says it this way: yet even when you do pray, your prayers are not answered because you pray just for selfish reasons.
You know, honey, there are dozens of verses that point out how God wants us to be blessed financially. But we must never forget, let me say it more positive, we should always remember why He blesses us. As the scripture says, we're blessed to be a blessing. God doesn't want us broke and living in lack, but He wants us to monitor our priorities and seek His righteousness first.
And He gives it directly from Matthew 6:33, because Matthew 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. See, all the things we want, all these things shall be added unto you.
There's one thing I feel led to say. Be prepared today and the days that follow. Be prepared to receive money from totally unexpected sources.
Oh, boy, that sounds exciting.
Yeah. I love it when God talks early in the morning.
Amen.
Go to haroldherring.com. Check out this week's two-minute video. You've been blessed by the teaching up at the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed He'd have you sow. Do what He says, so will ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.